You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 892. Legion of Superheroes Secret Files number 1, Legionnaires 3. Welcome to episode 892 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I am Paul French, and today, well, let's see, what a weekend it's been. Today I'm competition kid. Ella had a cheer competition today, and their sort of organization is called, it's Cheer Sport Sharks. So they're all about finding anything with sharks on it, which I'm all for. And so I found myself a couple of good Hawaiian shirts with sharks on them. And I want to find one that's got like Jabberjaw or something like that at some point. And so one day this will happen. And it might even happen while she's still doing this. Otherwise, it might just be like, got a collection of shark themed Hawaiian shirts, which I am all for. And so that's what's been going on up north. Travis, what are the happenings down south?
Hey, everybody, this is Travis Ellisor. And this past weekend, I was Wawa Giraffe Lad. So Friday, we went over to Foley, Alabama, and went to the zoo.
Nice.
They have a small zoo there, and, it's a pretty nice little zoo. It's called the Alabama Gulf Coast Zoo. Yeah. And it had to move when a hurricane came through years ago. It's been like this little zoo that could. It's went through a lot of crap, but it's nice. Anyway, if you pay $5, you can feed the giraffes by hand there and get to pet them and everything. And that's something I've never done before. So I got to have that experience. And then this morning, I go to the gas station. I went and filled up at a Wawa gas station. I like to fill up on Sundays before I have a week of work. That way I don't have to worry about it going to work or coming back every day. And anyway, this morning I had just thrown on my, I have my old Graffiti Designs Legion t-shirt with just the little L logo on the chest.
Nice. Yeah.
And I'm in there and I go in after I pay for the gas and I'm getting a drink, and they have decent breakfast there, so I'm grabbing a breakfast item. And the guy at the register is ringing me up, and he said, "That sure wouldn't happen to be a Legion of Superheroes shirt, is it?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he said, "Cool." He said, "Why didn't Superboy ever give his flight ring to Batman so he could fly?" I'm like, "I don't know." Why didn't he ever cure Mon-El? Who knows? You know. But anyway,
you could have pointed it to World's Finest 172, where Batman joins the Adult Legion. Mm. He does get
the conversation didn't get that deep. We had other people in line.
you were like, I'm not even going to get into telling him that Robin is, was, and always has been a Legionnaire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But anyway, you just never know when you'll encounter a Legion fan in the wild like that.
That is awesome. I love that. Of course, when you said Wawa Giraffe, I was picturing a giraffe playing guitar, playing, Voodoo Child
with a Wawa pedal.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll admit that's cool where too. My mind went first.
I get it. But anyway, that was me. Over to you, Mr. Grabois.
Well, first, I just want to say that Legion Secret Files 1, Legionnaires 3 sounds like the final score of a sports ball game.
It kind of does, doesn't it? That's what I thought as soon as I said it.
Hey, everybody, Michael Grabois here. And this week, I am finally, our long national nightmare is over. And our lad, And no, I'm not talking about the U.S. government reopening. I'm talking about the resolution of my reimbursement from Lufthansa, which is 4 months, 4.5 months ago already. But after getting nowhere, emailing them and having them continually change their story on whether my receipts are good or not, I finally went to their Twitter account and I said, hey, can you guys help me? And they're like, sure, no problem. We'll just escalate this up. And then 2 days later, I got a deposit in my bank account, direct deposit. And so that is even better than just getting flight credit. Because flight credit, I would have had to book through Lufthansa.
Oh, yeah.
And now I can book through United because that's where all my points are. But I know that you guys have been waiting for a resolution on this, and I've been getting a constant flow of emails, people wanting updates. So I just wanted to report that that we finally got closure, and both Lufthansa and I can go on with our lives now.
Excellent. I'm sure they'll be issuing a statement shortly.
They gave me a direct deposit, which is good enough. I don't need them to make a public statement. I got my money. That's all that matters.
Fair.
So that is it for me. Over to you, Jim.
Hey, everybody. I'm Jim Purcell, and today I was there and back again, lad. So my roommate has been looking for a particular Jurassic World dinosaur, and it has been very hard to find. She got news that it was at a local Target, and we ran down there last night and came up empty. And so I decided to do a little bit of calling around, and I managed to find one at a Target a bit further away. So the funny thing about Target is that apparently if you find the prices in store don't always match what's on their app, they will mark stuff up on their app. And even if you order it for like in-store pickup, you still have to pay the online price. In this particular case, it was like $40 more than the already $60 price of the figure. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the good news is if you actually call the store or find out they actually have it, they'll hold it for you for 24 hours and you can get the store price. So it's been kind of just annoying. So I got it locked in. We drove up there. Thankfully, it was there for real. Got it. Came back. It was a nice afternoon. There'd been a lot of weather, rain last night, but it cleared up today. So it was a nice drive.
Which dino is it?
Oh, it's the Spinosaurus, the Hammond collection. Yeah. Which are a little bit fancier than the regular versions, which are
the
also
Hammond
Target exclusive.
Collection. Who does these? Is it McFarlane?
I'm pretty sure it's just Mattel. I think Mattel has the Jurassic Park license.
Huh. That's cool.
And they have a lot of like your basic stuff, but the Hammond collection stuff is all just a little bit higher detail.
Yeah.
Which are nice. They originally, cool. Yeah, it's a very cool figure. I'm not really into the Jurassic Park stuff, so I don't collect them, but she's into them. So,
nice.
Or this one particular one. She likes Spinosaurus. So I'm glad we found it because she's been talking about getting one for like half a year.
And oh, wow.
I thought we'd never find one. So it was nice to find.
Hammond
Club. So that's it for me. And I think that's everybody.
I believe it is, which brings us to the question, is there any Legion news this week?
Wait, I think there is Legion news, actually. I think I have heard on the grapevine some... maybe that was a lie.
Those sons of bitches.
I think I got tricked by an AI article.
Oh, gosh.
Oh no, that's the worst.
That Legion had been announced for a March release. Apparently, that was lies, or at least not true.
It was AI referencing that there are going to be some books starting in March.
Ah, And it was just hallucinating that Legion will be part of it, even though it's likely it will be.
Yeah, it might not be March, but I mean, it could be April or May, but
I think it's going to be after KO finishes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, they're, you know, it is an event. They're presumably going to launch some titles out of it. And is it like a bunch of sort of crossover stories with a framing series, or
it's what it looks like to me,
because I haven't seen another issue of KO yet. And so
it is a, from what I've read, it's a main series, but some of the little side things, one shots, whatever, if you want to see more about a particular battle.
Gotcha.
But the main story is still just the main title.
Yeah. Okay. I've found it gimmicky. Don't get me wrong, I think the art is great on it. It's a good looking book for sure. But I don't know. It still feels very like, it feels like something that would have been a what was that? The Injustice thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like sort of universe video game tie-in.
Correct. Cause it sounds like one, because it's a tournament of sorts. There are main title tie-ins though. Cause there's a Superman 31 is a DC KO tie-in issue.
Right. And I know there was a Flash. Impulse Point issue of Flash was a,
but there are also one shots and they're also a main series. Yeah.
That's an event series for sure.
Yeah, and so it remains to be seen. We won't know until the issues actually come out. Mm-hmm. How much Darkseid's Legion content is going to be in there?
Well, they'll be in the Superman and the Flash issues. We know that.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, will it be enough for us to devote an entire episode, or will it just be a yada yada mention?
Probably not.
That is entirely up to us.
Yeah. They're not the boss of us.
Well, I guess we'll just or the listeners will have to wait and hear if we cover it or not.
There we go.
It'll be a surprise.
Yeah. We'll know, like you say, after it comes out. And yeah.
I'm pretty sure the next issues, they're going to be major parts of both of those books.
Nice. Very cool. I would greatly enjoy that. I was able to, as I said, get a lot of reading done over the past week. And, between Spectre Omnibus and...
I got that now.
Oh, my God. It's beautiful, isn't it?
I've opened, I haven't even taken the shrink wrap off of it, but I had it.
Even the cover is beautiful. Yeah. It's really well done. I did check. It doesn't go in the dark. just what a great way to present that artwork, right?
Yes.
Oh, God, so good. So, yeah, read that. I've been rereading the new Titan series. Because I kind of read it very disjointed at the time. And so I'm just catching up to the Beast Wars segment. Mm-hmm. It's been good. I mean, those first five issues, you know, it's Nicholas Scott. You can't go wrong. Mm-mm. Really can't go wrong with that. So, yeah. Yeah. Lots of good stuff coming out. And be nice to have the Legion among them, wouldn't it?
Sure would.
Absolutely. All right. Why don't we get into this?
Okay. I'll take it.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. So we're covering Legion of Superheroes, Secret Files and Origins. First number one issue, guided tour of the new Legion outposts. From Three Legion, the team's origin retold. The history of tomorrow, a 30th century timeline. Legion liaison Siobhan Aaron speaks out. Lost pages, the Legion job hunt. bonus pinup every Legionnaire and villain to date. And that's just the headlines. The cover is by Phil Jimenez, and the colors are by Patrick Martin. We have some Legionnaires flying away from Earth into space. We got Saturn Girl, Ultra Boy, Cosmic Boy, Apparition, Livewire, Pharaoh, Brainiac 5 and Coco, Invisible Kid, and Triad. The next page is a representation of the cover to Legion of Superheroes number 80 by Alan Davis, Mark Farmer, and Patrick Martin. It's the one with all the Legionnaires coming in, they're holding the flag. Third page, we have the table of contents, and it's a lot of credits that we will get to as we get to each of these features. So nice. Let's get to the main story. Legionnaires 3, The Secret File on the Legion of Superheroes by Tom Pyre, co-plotter and scripter, Tom McCraw, co-plotter and colorist, Jeff Moy, penciler, W.C. Karani, inker, Pat Brosseau, letterer, Frank Berrios, assistant editor, with K.C. Carlson as the editor. And we start off, we have a splash page of Saturn Girl, Cosmic Boy, and Livewire flying through the city. They have uniforms on, but they are not their Legionnaire costumes that we know and love.
Well, we've seen these before. These are the ones they were given right when they joined.
Right, in the zero.
Yeah. So we got some text boxes. We don't know who's talking yet. At the end of the third millennium, as one earthly culture measures time, three dozen planets join together to live in peace, or to tick each other off forever. It was a huge risk, and in the end, its success depended on three teenagers from three worlds. Seemed like a pathetic long shot to most sentient beings, but not to me. You see, three is my lucky number. Who could be talking?
It's like
who likes three? Next page. History was peaking, and I had front row center seats, because the one who started it all is my boss and legal guardian, R.J. Brand, industrialist, philanthropist, and visionary. And we see R.J. Brand. And they say his company gave the galaxy stargates, which made interstellar travel possible. And we see an interstellar shuttle going through a stargate. One second. And his conscience gave us the United Planets, intended to make interstellar travel something we could live with. And we see the United Planets for the Earth Assembly Center. And Brand is speaking and saying, now that we've heard the proposals to amend the UP's legislative structure, I open the floor to... And Adirlin says, bad, too much restrict. And it says, to RJ, peace was an investment he needed to keep a close eye on. And the Derlin is speaking to one of Gates's race. I can't think of the name of his race off the top of my head. Okay, the Derlin says, one form make rigid, not good, fluid. And the other one says, by my pod, I don't even know what you're talking about, Derlin. No one does. The narrator continues, even when he didn't like what he saw, as Brand looks on to them conflicting. They continue arguing with the Derlin, saying, one form rigid, even bugs should know. And the other alien saying, what did you call me? And the narrator continues, because we knew there were those who would love to see this his big dream crumble. And we see a particular sinister person looking on with his hands crossed, just like a villain. Back at the office, I had no idea how badly the UP was going with RJ absent. I was doing the work of three to take up his slack and staying on top of it pretty well, no matter what that sprocking Doyle said. And I guess that's Doyle. And he's saying, Miss Durgo. Yeah. Miss Durgo, when I ask for a file, I don't expect to want it for it, to wait for it. If you can't get organized, and it's Triad, and she's the narrator, and she's got a whole bunch of Omnicoms. And she splits up, and the more aggressive one says, "I don't have to take this, Mr. Doyle. I report to RJ, not you." Doyle says, "I'm his partner, you Kargite freak. That means I own half your time. If you want to keep working here..." And Triad continues, "I was just about to tell him what to do with his half of my job when RJ showed up. As always, he'd see that I'd triplicated, then chew out Doyle for upsetting me. Doyle knew it too. He started to brace himself when RJ trudged past us without saying a word." And RJ's walking by, his head down, doesn't look happy at all. And Doyle looks shocked. Triad says, "Wait, what? Wait, RJ? Luornu, don't. He obviously wants to be alone." He does look upset. It's the three of them talking to each other. And Doyle is walking off. A little smile on his face. The middle one comes in. "RJ, you okay?" He says, "What? Oh, sorry, Lou. I guess I'm not myself today." "Huh. I know that feeling. United Planet stuff?" RJ says, "United? Ha! We can't even organize ourselves. The Vergans insist on a matriarchy. The Durlans say we're dictators if we don't change the rules every day. There are 20 other worlds making conflicting demands and discussions out of the question. They don't even all use words. Ever try to win a debate with smells? I'll never figure out what they'll all respond to." And the Lornu says, "That's right. You never will. Not as long as you sit up here." The Shire one, the orange one, says, "Lou, what are you doing?" And it's Violet, who's all aggressive. "Quiet, Lou. He needs to hear this. The answer's out there among the people, or whatever they are." RJ says, "By damn, don't just stand there yelling, kid. Book me a tour." Lornu says, and off he went, on a sweep through the UP worlds that yielded absolutely nothing and made me look foolish, until he hit Winath. Whoops. The very last stop on his tour. Uh-oh. And we cut to Winath, and it looks like what we'd think, a big farming community, but it has rockets. And we go inside to a restaurant, Moe's, and I think we talked about this earlier, up on the menu on the board, it has a lot of current Legion creative team. They have dishes named after them.
Oh, inside. Named after them. I thought like they were like, how to serve man.
Well, we hope not.
Right.
We hope not. Maybe blow the dust off the rest of the book, see exactly what it said.
Exactly.
How to serve man a nice dish.
Comma. Oh, no.
Inside, there's a bunch of aliens, and one big mean-looking one says, "What makes you think I'll eat this sludge? On my world, we use it to flush cesspools." And he's throwing a plate at the guy behind the counter, who's saying, "That's it. Find another job, Tinsel. Tinsel, I'm closing this dump down. How can I run a spaceport concession when they all eat different slop?"
Oh, that is definitely Mo.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that is totally a Mo Sizlak. Yeah, no doubt about it.
And you see Tinsel in the back, and his spatula has got a bite taken out of it. And he says, "Hey, some of us will eat anything." And RJ's watching, and he's going, "Hey, so, I take it you don't think the UP is a dream worth pursuing?" And Mo says, "A dream? More like a nightmare." "Hey, wait a minute. I know you. You're the big shot behind the UP. Finally want to know what the common herd thinks, huh? Well, we think you're all tell and no show. It's easy to preach, but while we're down here killing each other, you'll be hiding up in your plush suites and exclusive clubs." And he's poking RJ in the chest while he's yelling at him. And then, one of the probes comes out and says, "Ahem, your private cruiser is ready, sir." RJ says, "Your timing is terrible." What the heck? "Scrap the cruiser. Book me on the next shuttle to Earth. Tourist class."
Sorry, I just want to note, looking at in that
panel where Mo is poking him in the chest. Behind him, we have a couple of aliens that look familiar. One is, I believe it was Snaggletooth, a Star Wars figure of old, one of the canteen creatures. And that guy in the middle reminds me a bit of, what was the Alien Nation?
Yeah, only his head's tall.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's kind of a cross between that and a cone head.
Yeah, the middle one, he's not completely like Snaggletooth. I see what you're getting there, but he reminds me of him and a little bit the Twilight Zone episode where she has the plastic surgery.
Right. Oh, and, yeah.
They take off
the
mask and they all look like, it kind of looks like that face to me.
Yeah, I think, you know, probably close enough in either case to make sure that...
no legal anything.
They don't get sued, exactly. But it's funny. Ella and her boyfriend were upstairs watching Twilight Zone today. And I was like, oh, does my heart good.
So anyway, now we know why RJ was not flying in a private shuttle and he was in a tourist class common shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
So Lorna continues. Lorna continues. He'd had an earful of why the UP couldn't work, and that made him more determined to learn how it could. So he gets on the shuttle with all these different aliens, all the different common people, and the probe is saying, "May I at least take your coat, sir?" And he says, no special treatment for this old man. And we see a couple familiar faces near the top, Rock and Garth. RJ sits down. Trav continues.
He's sitting next to Roger Stern, by the way.
Yes.
Okay. And RJ Lornu says he would just talk it out with the average traveler, sentient to sentient. And RJ grunts as he sits down and he says, "Today I'm just a passenger? Or maybe not, because everyone's staring at him. And including iStalk guy."
Take a drink.
There you go.
Take a drink.
I probably need one. So, Lornu continues. The cruiser made a quick stop on Titan and arrived early, but not soon enough for RJ. He's walking down, alien's talking to him, says, "Mr. Brand, sir, this was an honor. You must have been traveling on very important business. I do hope things went well." RJ says, "About as well as can be expected. And then someone shouts from the side, "Those men, they aren't maintenance. They're assassins and they're after Brand. And it's the White Triangle. Remember them?"
Oh, yes.
And yeah, they have some guns.
They're going undercover by wearing a white triangle on their jacket.
I do have to point out somewhat of a unexplained factor here. If he spontaneously changed ships at his last destination, how do they know he was getting off here?
Maybe someone works for the shuttle line.
Maybe they eat at Moe's.
Yeah. They're undercover. Well, they're everywhere.
But it's a good point.
Earth was the next stop on the spaceship from Titan.
Maybe.
I'm sure when he got on there, it went out on social media everywhere.
That makes sense. He is famous.
Yes.
He did not keep a low profile.
No.
It's the TMZ of space.
Exactly. Which is the three millennia zone.
So the voice off panel continues. They're assassins and they're after Brand. And Lornu says, "An intuition, a blast of magnetism," as we see the White Triangle's guns go up in the air. "Instantaneous cooperation," as we see Emmer's there. And Garth and Rock are pursuing the White Triangle. By the way, if you want more on this scene, go back to Legion of Superheroes number 0.
Yes.
A burst of lightning. We got a crack. It all came so swiftly, so unexpectedly, that it barely registered on RJ until the reviews were in. And we see the crowd has went around the three going-to-be Legionnaires. And such courage and teamwork. Aren't they all from different planets? Couldn't be. Ah, but see how young they are. Probably haven't learned prejudice yet. And RJ's looking on, and he says, "By damn." And when RJ got back, he had a twinkle in his eyes I hadn't seen in weeks. I missed it. And Lauren is sitting there talking to him. She says, "I've been racking my brain for a way to cheer him up, but somehow I never thought of an assassination attempt." No one thinks of that, cheering people up nowadays. It's a shame.
They really miss the boat, don't they?
Yes. And Lauren is handing him an Omnicom and says, "I've compiled what little is known about the assassins and their possible motives." RJ says, "Forget them. And the science police will figure it out. Go get me everything on you can on those kids who saved you." And Lornu already has it all on three different Omnicoms. And he goes, "By damn, you are good. Let's see those." And so we get three little profiles. One says Rockcrin, age 16, homeworld brawl. Two-time winner of Magno Ball Cosmic Games. Sports media dubs him Cosmic Boy. Owned native Brawlian magnetic skills to perfection. Sole support of family. Touring Earth to earn exhibition money and endorsements. The second one is named Imra Ardeen, homeworld titan, age 15. Alpha class telepath. Rated titan's best. Like all titan telepaths, required by law to display Saturn symbol. Science police cadet, and newly stationed at Metropolis SPHQ. Third, finally, name Garth Rands, homeworld Wenath, age 14. Generates and casts electrical energy. Power shared by twin sister Ayla and brother Mecht. Searching galaxy for Mecht. Lightning Beast of Korbal.
Take a drink.
We always got to see them. They're below Garth. Got a picture of one. And it says, transmitted power to Rand's siblings. All other reported lightning beast attacks result in death by electrocution.
Mm.
And RJ says, perfect. They all excel and they're all responsible.
By which he means his spreadsheet that he keeps track of these things with. I'm sure.
Yes. it's still around.
Indeed.
Everyone's still trying to figure out the pivot tables. Brand says, get President Chu on the Omnicom and then get me those kids.
And what I love about this is, like, I know that issue zero did indicate some of, I mean, it definitely indicated Brand's enthusiasm for it, but this really doubles down on that. And, you know, that image, sort of a page before, where he just sees everybody reacting to him. He's like, "By damn," you know, the look in his eyes. And this is, like, mad credit to Jeff Moy. The way that was captured, it just shows that he is absolutely captivated by the idea of this, and that's everything.
Oh yeah, I agree. Moy did a fantastic job in this.
Yeah,
and he did this while drawing the regular book.
Good point. Yeah.
So we go to Science Police Headquarters, and Trad continues, "That was easy. They'd all lived their lives, and they were all kicking themselves. Our science cadet was getting the full grunt treatment from her commander." And we see a couple Science Police familiar faces. But the commander says, "And when you're finished classifying case files, Ardeen, you could organize my workspace." She says, "But sir, the Brand affair." And he says, "Isn't the concern of a cadet. You want that sort of responsibility, you have to earn it." And Triad walks up and says, "Careful, Cadet Ardeen. Even I can read those thoughts." And this is the violet one. We cut over to Rock, and she says, Kryn was being pushed through grueling practice sessions by his greedy agent. And his agent says, what's wrong with you, boy? Get it together, or you're poor forever. And Rock says, I will, sir. I promise. Looks like he's having a rough time. He goes walking off, has a towel on, getting the sweat off. And one of the triads shows up. Don't let him beat you up. I, for one, liked your moves. Anytime you want to move me around, please do. And she's kind of holding the corner of the Omnicom up to her lips, being all flirty. And he says, do I know you? And then we cut around to the third, and it's Garth. And she says, Rance, as usual, had the worst luck. His quest led him straight into a jail cell, shared by three dumb sadists who tried to douse his lightning. And he's all wet. They've got a bucket. They must have poured the water on him. And he says, you jerks. And the cell opens up. A science police officer comes in and says, break it up in here. This way, Rance. Your bail's been posted. Triad says he looked so relieved. All three of them did. They're about to get fried. And Lornu says, now all I had to do was coax that same look out of RJ. She's in the office. She says, they're here, sir. We had a little trouble. Seems that the Titanian caught the Wenathian undressing her with his mind.
Oh no. Garth.
But then she exposed the Brawlian's embezzling agent. She really earned the kid's gratitude. And RJ says, so the two who come from warring worlds are the first to bond? Guess we couldn't ask for a better omen. Check out the boy's situation. If his folks need jobs at the Brow headquarters, they get them. They got them. And Lornu says, nervous, sir? And RJ says, why would I be? I'm only asking those kids to ensure the fate of the whole UP. Ah, enough self-pity. I sound like Doyle. Let's buzz them in here. It's showtime. And click. And Lornu says, break a leg, sir. And it's dark in there. And they come walking in. Rock says, this is Mr. Brand's office? It's so... Gar says, dark. Maybe Brand's late on his energy bills. Emmer says, I think people pay him energy bills.
Exactly.
And, yeah. Then a light comes on, and it's Superman. And Gar says, yow, let there be light. Rock says, Superman, even the Brawlians have heard of the legendary Man of Steel. And then some more heroes show up. It's a lot of holographic projections. We got Batman, Wonder Woman, The Flash. And Rock says, more of them. Our host seems quite taken with yesterday's crime fighters, doesn't he? Gar says, at least someone remembers them. It's been so long since we've known heroes like these. And a voice off to the side says, precisely. So what can we do about that? And it's Brand. And he says, I've been a lucky old man. The universe has been damn good to me. I'm fat and I'm rich and I've lived a long time. I look at you and I see an opportunity to give something back. Not just to you, but to the galaxy. And
I've lived a long time.
Yeah, kind of hinting at something.
Yeah, totally.
Next page, he says, the action you took at the spaceport. You three are heroes. Do you know that? When the need arose, you put aside your differences and worked together. You were a team. They're kind of looking at each other. And then he pulls up the a projection, and he says, with my financial backing and with the cooperation of the UP, you can stay a team. At the spaceport, you took a chance. Take another. Use your special abilities to help others. And soon others like you will rally around. You'll find a legion of heroes. Superheroes. And he holds out his hand.
Mm.
They look at each other and they extend their hands. They say, okay, we're in. Now what? Now what indeed? Now RJ could exhale. Now the UP's troubles almost look surmountable. Now the Legion's problems. We're ready to begin. And, we cut away to another office, and is that Doyle?
Yes.
I think it's him. He's looking at the statue, whatever symbol thing that's at the UP. I believe that's the thing that had the bomb in it in the first story.
That's right.
And he's saying, Bran lives. Our masters will give us but one more chance at him, and we dare not let it slip away. But first we will strictly at this legion of his. I want to discredit its message of interplanetary coexistence before he throws another credit of my money into that ridiculous enterprise. Lornu says, I can't say it floored me when Doyle was eventually exposed as the head assassin. I'm just glad he never knew how fragile the Legion was in the beginning anyway. We cut away. Rock's coming out in his outfit. Not as a current Legionnaire outfit, but the uniform where they all three look the same. And they're saying, Rock, let's ride in together, just the two of us, before... And Emmer's saying, before Rand shows up. And Garth's saying, before Ardeen shows up. Uh-oh. And Rock says, I have a better idea. Let's all go. Because Garth and Emmer didn't exactly hit it off right away. Lornu says, of course, if Rock Kryn had lived 1,000 years sooner... You say something, Michael?
Nope.
Nope.
Okay. Lornu says, of course, if Rock Kryn had lived 1,000 years sooner, he probably could have kept the Beatles together. He must have quickly wondered why he was bothering.
Again, this interesting reference.
Yeah. I like the food guy here who's apparently a clam.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking either that or H.R. Puffin stuff.
Yeah.
probably just tangentially.
Yeah, and they're eating calamari, maybe? I mean, it looks like squid. Lornu says, they spent their first day as a team smiling for the cameras at various interspecies locales. RJ insisted he needed the shots to dress up the teams coming out at the upcoming UP delegate conference. And they're just going around meeting different aliens. A little baby has spit up on Emra. And Lornu says the restaurant shoot went well, and so did the spaceport. But by the time they got to the zoo, their smiles had given out.
Because there weren't any giraffes there.
Exactly. They didn't get to feed any.
Yeah, no giraffes playing Jimi Hendrix. I mean, come on.
Everybody get your drinks ready just in case there are escaped zoo animals.
That's what tends to happen.
Indeed.
Rock says, Mr. Bran, I'm not so sure about this anymore. I thought you were looking for heroes. Garth says, yeah, I feel like a hollow model. And Bran says, now, kids, I explained this. It's all about communicating our message to the worlds. Once they accept you, you'll get to show what you're made of. Down the road, sometime, but then there's a fash. And, looks like, just as predicted, a bunch of animals have broken out.
Take a drink.
This is a tradition for Legion going way back. a lot of different things, lightning beasts of Korbal.
Oh, take a drink.
Yeah, some type of crystal bug-looking thing. There's a flying dragon-looking thing. Emmer says, what was that flash? Rock says, the energy cages, the beasts are free. And Garth says, and they sure don't seem to like each other or us. I don't think reading their minds is going to help. He's talking to Emra. She says, quiet. I'm scanning an intelligence. Someone deliberately sabotaged the cages. Rock says, then find the culprit before he frees any more. Garth, we'll handle the animals. Bran says, good luck, kids. I guess your big chance came sooner. And, Rock's using his powers to contain the dragon thing. He says, hey, mineral dragon, that gym hog's too rare to chomp on. How about a nice, juicy field generator? The gym hog is the crystal-looking thing. And Rock says, it likes my cooking. It's eating all the metal. He projected at it. And then he's moving the gym hog with his powers. Garth takes out the lightning beast of Korbal. And Lornu says, of course, Garth didn't cook the beast. He just stunned it. He told me later he got a scary charge out of blasting the species that blasted him. He hoped he'd gotten it out of his system. Then we see a gloved hand clicking a button to free another beast. And it says, nearby, another sharp dresser was having fun with the animals. And it's our old friend Grimbor. And he says, doors open, Gorilla Dillo. Come to Grimbor, you smelly brute.
Wow, wow.
And the Gorilla Dillo is freed. Grimbor's thinking, Doyle better be good and grateful. A public confronted with the chaos that ensues when species mingle. Can't help but question United Plan. Ow! And Emra's in his head. She says, Grimbor the Chainsman, you're in violation of Section 9 of the Captive Animal Protection Act. And Grimbor says, what are you, kid, a cop? And she says, not anymore, but close enough. And she tackles him. Emra says, I pulled your history out of your head, Grimbor, and it disgusts me. A professional trainer should know better than to mistreat animals. Grimbor says, you convinced me, little girl. Animal abuse is just plain wrong. And he uses his chain to hit the Gorilla Dillo. And he says, it's better if they abuse you. And the Gorilla Dillo spits, looks like acid. And Emra dodges out of the way. She says, yeah, it sprays acid. And Rock is containing some little eel looking creatures. And he says, sorry, eels, that's as far as you get. And Gar says, Rock, want to trap that mineral dragon atmosphere before somebody breathes? And Rock says, one thing at a time. Grife, these eels won't stay put. And they're coming out a little hole they've made in the metal. Gar says, I'll slow them down while you. And Rock says, I know. Gas them to sleep, right? And Rock says, amazing. It's like we can read each other's. Whoa. And Emra's in his head. She says, I'm cornered, trying to mentally calm it. But the Gorilla Dillo's on her. And she says, but all I'm doing is making it angry. But it gets zapped by Garth. And he says, Emra, are you all right? And she says, Garth, I could feel your emotions. You're not all lust and anger. You really cared about what happened to me. And Garth says, of course I. But then thwack. How touching. You two should be together. And it's Grimbor, and he's wrapped him up. And Emra says, Grimbor, I'll... And he says, what? You'll read my mind? Or maybe your date will electrocute me? Too bad you'll fry, too. And Emra says, there is a third option. And Grimbor says, what? And he is thrown off his feet by some magnetic powers. And he's thrown into the gas from the dragon. And he starts coughing. And Rock says, see what you get when you mess up the habitat? And Grimbor is unconscious now. Rock says, he's out. Give me a second to confine the dragon with its air. Then I'll set you. And Emra says, take your time. And Rock says, what, enjoying yourself? They're all wrapped up with Garth. And she goes, har, har. No, Grimbor failsafes his trap in case he's snared. I caught him thinking about. And she gets free. Garth says, explain later. This ain't over yet. And he's pointing at a big cloud of dust. Or is that the cloud from the dragon? Either way.
Yeah.
There's more animals. And Lorna says, no, it wasn't. In fact, they were back where they had started, asking the most crucial question of their time. Here come all the animals. All kinds of animals now.
That's a stampede. Yep.
Yep, it's a stampede. Emra says, Rock, Grimbor's belt pod above the stampede.
See?
Yep. And Rock uses powers to move the belt pod. Could three teenagers reach into the jaws of interspecies chaos? And while it's up in the air, Emra says, Garth, blast it open. He says, whatever you say. And he blasts it open with like a Zach. And it explodes. And Garth says, don't tell me. Grimbor thinks in gadget schematics, right? Whoa. And all the animals are trapped. And Lorno's still talking about how the three have done a good job. And then they're all just kind of sweating and in relief. And Rock says, Emra, you did it. And she says, no, we did it. Gar says, yeah, all three of us. Lorone says, we all had to hand it to RJ. His instincts were right. And suddenly he knew it. He stopped wasting the time with photo shoots. Well, mostly anyway. The Legion went on to crack the anti-UP conspiracy, avert a war, and win its independence from the government. And that was just throat clearing. The challenges kept coming, as the ranks steadily grew from 3 to over 24, and more if you count me as 3. Today, we protect an ever-expanding sector of the galaxy from every threat imaginable. And while we're doing it, we get the message across. And we see...
What a beautiful page this is.
It is a good one.
Yeah.
And we got the pretty much the whole current lineup of Legionnaires all flying over lots of different alien species. And that is the end of the first story and our coverage for tonight.
Beautiful.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, often it feels like, oh, another retelling of the origin. But I feel like we got more out of this.
You know, we got a little more extra behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this the first reboot appearance of Grimbor?
I believe so.
I think so.
Because I was thinking that. It's like, have we seen him yet?
I don't think so, but I think he appears again later.
No, we only saw him pre-reboot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's Legionnaire more
series.
He's more like Grimbor the Huntsman here, if he's an animal trainer,
rather a little than bit, Grimbor right? The Tainsman. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's all about keeping things shackled up. So I can see where that was like a, hey, what a great opportunity. Yeah, no, that's that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that, and I like you said, Travis, like the idea that Moy and Karani did this while they were still doing the regular series, you know, because it does not look like they did not phone it in here.
Mm-mm.
It's really well done, and. Yeah, enjoyed the heck out of it.
It also gives a not just a retelling of the origin, but a big expansion where the origin story is not the focus of the story.
Yeah, good point. Good point. You know, it is the gateway to the rest of the story. And we get another mission from that nascent Legion. And you know, I find sometimes the Secret Files series, you know, as they were kind of a way of doing like who's who with stories. And many of them are, you know, just kind of fluff. But this had some substance to it, and it added to, you know, it gave us a bit of the before the origin story and a bit of the after the origin story. And I think this was a good one.
Do you think it'll go down in some sort of historical
there could context? Be some record of it at some point where they say, you know, it's an important part of Legion history.
They might say that.
They might. Speaking of which, Michael.
Yes.
Is there anything that happened this week in Legion history?
There are, as a matter of fact. I know. And you keep asking that every week. And
just somehow, in case. Just in case.
I've got stuff ready in case you ask. let's see. This issue went on sale November 26th. 1997, the same day as Legion number 100, probably so is part of
1997, you said?
I did say that.
Dang. So, yeah, 28 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was probably scheduled to come out the same day as Legion 100 as a celebration of the the issue number 100.
I distinctly remember buying those both same day.
Nice.
Yeah. and the story that we just read takes place May 26th, 2994, which is just one day after the founding. And we know that date based on some references in issue zero. And then later on in this issue, we will get to the timeline, which gives us what day everything occurred since the day of the founding. But since this one took place in between Legion number zero and Legionnaires number zero, we might consider retroactively renumbering this episode as episode 743 and a half, if that's a thing you want to do.
Seems very confusing.
If it's not a thing you don't want to do, then don't worry about it. So going back 40 years... into November 1985, we have Who's Who, the definitive directory of the DC Universe, number 12. It contains entries for Johnny Double through Kong the Untamed. And there are two Legion-related entries in this issue. Can you name those two entries?
What are the names again?
Johnny Double, J-O-N-N-Y. Double through Kong the Untamed, which I believe was a Tarzan spinoff, not a King Kong spinoff.
A which spinoff?
J through K.
Wasn't it Tarzan?
Oh, Kong? Okay, sorry.
Kong the Untamed.
Well, obviously Karate Kid.
Obviously, that was one of them.
And wait, thinking of the timing, Karate Kid 2, Mig, or would he have not been in? Really?
No, he was. He was in Who's Who with Legion, but not the regular one.
Interesting. Yeah.
Trying to think of any relevant villains right now.
And while you're thinking, Kong the Untamed, by the way, was a 1975 DC series by Jack Olek and Alfredo Alcala. Kong is an intelligent caveman who is a direct descendant of Anthro. Nice. So there you go.
Sure. Righty, kid. I mean, I don't know if you counted or not, but the Coons?
That is the other one, yes.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So those are the two Legion related entries in issue number 12.
Well, that was pre-invasion, so they were probably still more associated with Legion than DC.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
From 1985, yep.
Yeah, 100%.
30 years ago in 1995, it was Flash number 109, Dead Heat Part 2. Wally leads the Speedsters to Manchester, Alabama to recruit Max, but they find Impulse and Excess instead. And we covered Dead Heat in episode 795. 20 years ago in 2005, we have Legion of Superheroes Teenage Revolution trade paperback. Collects the three boot series issues 1 through 6, plus the preview story from Teen Titans Legion Special number 1.
Ah, yes.
A bright, defiant, energized team of superpowered teenagers from different worlds forms a team of passionate activists crusading to leave their mark on a society that has forgotten how to fight for change. And the subs covered that in episodes 117 through 122. And, of course, Tomorrow's Heroes Today covered it in episodes 1 through 7. 15 years ago in 2010, we had Legion of Superheroes, The Great Darkness Saga Deluxe Edition hardcover. This is the first printing. We just got a new printing of it earlier this year. This collects... Legion number 284 through 296, plus annual number 1. This is the start of the Levitz run, originally with Pat Broderick and soon with Keith Giffen. And that was various episodes from 72 through 96.
Yes.
Same day we had Legion Volume 6, Number 7. The first strike of Durlan assassins arrives on Earth. Their goal? Kill United Planets leadership as revenge for RJ Brand's death while posing as science police officers. And that was episode 111. And then finally, also the same day in 2010, we have Superman Last Stand of New Krypton Volume 1 hardcover. The Legion is involved in a battle against Brainiac, featuring Superman, Supergirl, Mon-El, who was loose in the 21st century at the time, General Zod, Kandor, Luthor, and of course, New Krypton. Continued in the War of the Supermen story arc, this reprints Superman Last Stand of New Krypton 1 and 2, Adventure Comics 8 and 9, Superman 898, and Supergirl 51. This is the Retro Boot Legion, and we will maybe cover it in Event Theater one of these days.
One of these days.
One of these days in Event Theater. However, we are coming up on the Event Theater 1998. This is Event Theater 2010, so we have a little ways to go.
Right. What was 1998?
I just had 1998 coming up is DC 1 million.
Oh, right. Yeah, I've really got to... I got to do some reading and get caught up for that. It's been a hot minute.
Like probably since 1998?
Yeah, but even then it wasn't complete. So, yeah, that's something I got to get to for sure.
It is tentatively scheduled for summer of 2026.
All right. That's so not that far away.
You've got a little time.
Not much. That's going to be upon us before we know it.
It's just like 8-9 months. I mean, you've got time to make a baby in there.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah. I'll have some words with a doctor if that happens.
So, okay, maybe not you, but there is time for a baby.
For someone to do that.
For someone to create a baby in that time. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
But yeah, that's all I got for this week in Legion history.
Well, that is fantastic. Thank you, sir. Thank you for that, as always. And folks, you can kind of follow up on that stuff on Michael's blog. And you're going to need to provide the name because for a second it's...
Adventure247.blogspot.com?
Yes, thank you. Oh, good grief. Yeah. I've got a link to it. So, which as we approach our 900th episode, I need to point out how for us, when we first started the show every week, that was the first thing we did before we started recording was we went to Michael's site to see what was going on. So it has always been and remains an important source of information for the show. And folks, it is much like Robin was and always has been a Legionnaire.
In all its incarnations.
In all possible incarnations, exactly.
So even folks, Robin 3000?
Even yes. Robin, all of the Robins.
Okay. Just checking.
Even Kermit's little nephew, Robin, was a Legionnaire.
What about Robin Scherbatsky from How I Met Your Mother?
Oh, come on. I mean, because not only is she also Maria Hill, but a damn fine Legionnaire.
And she's from Canada, too.
Well, that is true. And also was in Stumptown. Which is just something cool all the time, right? So folks, you may also have your own opinions on all of the different incarnations that, Kobe Smulders has played, and you're correct in all of them. And you can share those with us at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. You can also join in the conversation on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We are on Blue Sky as LOSP Podcast. And in addition to all those things, you can head over to our website at legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, where you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble. And as we walk in there, we say, challenge accepted. And we will see you all next week.